The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who have gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm bilingual, but instead of a foreign language, I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military. I've used this unique skill to help thousands of veterans, and today I want to help you navigate the hidden opportunities and unseen risks you may face during your own transition from the military. This is the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast.
The security of the military is you can be dead broke. You can spend all your money on whatever you want every weekend and still have a roof over your head, 3 squares a day, and you still have a job. Yep. And the transition to go from that to out on your own is a hard one. And I didn't have any pain point there. And so I think that's why it took me almost 7 years to really kind of collapse on my own. Because for me, the transition point really happened when I dropped out of the College of Engineering. Because prior to that, I was just running on what everybody else was doing. I really didn't run on who I was. I was just trying to figure out how I could fit in, not how to stand out and be more me.
Today, I would like to welcome Ben Kaloy. Ben is a United States Marine veteran turned blogger, life coach, speaker, and podcaster whose mission is to bring military veteran dads home to their families. He resides in Janesville, Wisconsin, with his wife and 3 beautiful kids. Ben went through what most transitioning veterans go through, the feeling of needing to redefine their identity outside of the structure of the military and rediscovering your passion and purpose for life. Ben left the Marines in 2007 and worked in corporate America for 12 years, but a seminar in 2014 changed it all for him and allowed him to discover his passion for leadership and helping other veterans and dads be the best parents they can be. Since that seminar, he's been on a mission to master leadership principles and use his passion for leadership to help dads understand who they are, develop their skills to overcome adversity, and to own their life choices to enable them to truly come home to their families. I am so excited for you to hear more about Ben's philosophy and approach to networking and the power of conversations. Stay tuned for his insights about the importance of figuring out who you are apart from the military, which is an important step for any veteran in transition. Hey, Ben, welcome to the show. So in the intro, we talked a little bit about that seminar that changed your life. And I would really like to start off today by hearing a little bit more about that.
So that seminar that changed my life is more the ending point. And if to get to that seminar, we need to rewind a little bit back and pull the fold, because it was just like a regular seminar, but it was a story leading up to it that really made it an impactful seminar. So that was about the year 2014. I'd already been out of the Marine Corps about 7 years at that point from 2007. I had been going to college at night. I'd started a family. I've had 2 jobs at this point. And I was just overwhelmed with school. I was going for electrical engineering. I was taking advanced calculus, advanced electronics. And it was just really overwhelming to try to conceptually understand it all. I mean, I remember moments where I had to like learn algebraic intuition because the problems weren't even solvable and you had to use your intuition to solve it. And I'm like, there's no rules. And I had always just learned algebra is a bunch of rules. And then you got to like guess what rule to throw at it to get it to work. And I was just falling apart. And so that fall prior to that year, I had dropped out of the College of Engineering because I had failed two key classes with a D plus. And so like, that was my, I need to pause and figure something out because I just can't keep going. Right. But what that created was this idea that like before that, my grass was always going to get greener on the other side once I have this degree. And I was on track to graduating like in 2016. So I still had so much more to go, maybe even 2018. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. This is such a long haul to get this piece of paper. And once I dropped out, which seemed logical at that point, but I didn't fully see what was coming, which was the grass dried up. And so like I had been running for 7 years on the programming that TAPS gave me, which was go out, get an interview, get a suit, get use your GI Bill, get a degree, get those foundations under your belt, and that will sustain you through where you need to get to go. But then running into this headwind that was life, family, debt, a whole nine yards of what most men and people are dealing with as veterans, like that hit me out of left field and I didn't know what to do with it. And so that 6 months prior to going to that seminar in May of 2014, I was just questioning everything. Like I was looking at my daughter and being like, who am I to even think that I can lead you in your life? I can barely lead myself through my life. Like that was a hard question to ask a man internally, like, and just like, who am I as a husband? Like I felt like such a failure. And going through that, and then I'm not sure exactly, I think it was just a random mailer at work because it was just a Fred Pryor seminar, which is a very popular leadership development program out there. And it was, I had just been promoted to supervisor. So like even that wasn't really, I didn't feel as successful with that just because of all the other things that I was holding on to. And so I went to the seminar, and that seminar we were talking and he was talking about leadership and I kept raising my hand. And I felt like the kid that had all the answers. And I never had felt like I had all the answers in my life. I was always a guy that asked questions. That was always something I was, but I never had all the answers. And I was like, I know all this stuff. I just never was given the ability to feel like I knew it all or executing it. And so what he gave me at that seminar was a gift that I had all this information from the Marine Corps. I just never got a chance to utilize it because there's a joke that I have once heard that when they were doing combat correspondence in Iraq in the early part of the war, that the reporters were acknowledging that like this Marine who's 19 years old has a platoon of five Marines and we don't even trust a 19-year-old to run the copier. And like, that's a little bit how you feel sometimes when you go into the civilian world, you're trusted with so much in the military and you go out and you're like, you have to reprove yourself. In many cases, maybe they don't trust you to run the copier because you are still very young. And there's just this hard mentality to get through. And I just never had a chance to test it. And so it just reignited why I love leadership. And it reminded me of a moment when I had a chance to be a platoon sergeant that we were rotating through. And what I remember most about that time as being platoon sergeant in the Marine Corps was finding the Marines that people had given up on and pulling the Marine out of them that they couldn't see themselves, giving them the reflection of who they are as a person. And I just fell in love with that. And now even fast forward further, I understand that's coaching. I understand that's leadership. And like, I just really fell in love with that. And I completely forgot about that story or even that love of that. And that just reignited this whole passion that I've created over the last 6 years. But before we go forward, I'll let you ask any other questions. But right there, that's what happened in that seminar was just ignited this passion that I love leadership and I want to master the skills.
You told me a story about something that the presenter said to you about going and interviewing for a role at a bank and having no banking experience. Tell me that story if you would, because I think it's a great story to help people understand the value of the skills that they do bring out of the military.
So you're told a lot in the civilian world that you have to have this skill set, you have to have this experience. And if you look at job requirements, they list experience all over the place. You've got to have so much in this, so much in that, so much in this. But what he told was a story where he was being recruited from like a sports equipment company, and he was being interviewed at a bank. And he remembers telling the HR ladies, like, you know, I know nothing about banking, right? And she's like, yeah, we know. And so he kept talking, and then he got invited to speak to the CEO. And like right in the first 5 minutes, he's like, I just want to reconfirm, you guys know I know nothing about banking, right? Like, I still can't quite figure out what got me in this chair. And the CEO was like, yeah, we know. And so he's like, okay, I'll shut up and just continue the conversation. Well, what the CEO told him was that I can teach you banking, in 15 minutes and what you need to know about it and to get through what you need to know. But what I can't teach you and teach anybody else is how to build and grow teams and bring them together. That he had multiple branches and he had great branch managers, but promoting one of them over the other would almost automatically create a bias, and he couldn't do that. And he's like, I can teach you banking, but I can't teach someone how to bring these branch managers together. And that's what your track record has proven. And it just taught me that it's less about the intangible skills that you have. And even my career since then has taught me I can learn almost any skill. If you were to look at my resume, I got out of the Marine Corps as a tech support person, talking to people and troubleshooting generators. Mm-hmm. I moved on to work on IT, doing business systems managing and doing Power Business Analytics with like Power BI from Microsoft. And then in just recently, I was also part of the marketing department running trade shows and learning how to execute that. And like all of that, I taught myself just by learning and diving into it and using Google and finding the right person to answer my question. So I started proving this theory that like I could be anybody, and but you needed, I already had the skills to bring into those roles. I just needed to close the knowledge gap. And I think what you don't know and what most people don't talk about, sometimes that knowledge gap is the easiest one to close, but oftentimes in recruitment, that's exactly what they're focusing on, is that knowledge. And they don't focus on like the hard skills that like I've proven I can repeat success over and over. You can teach me what you need to know, but I can bring something that you can't teach someone you already have.
I think that that's really important to know what is your intangible that you bring to the table, right? And I say just about every veteran has two things, those two intangibles they bring, and that's adaptability, the ability to walk into any situation and quickly figure it out and go with it, right? Because you do that all the time throughout your career. There's very rare times where a veteran stays in the same career field their entire military career. And then also the ability to lead and bring together diverse teams. Like there is no more diverse employer than the U.S. military. So I think those are great intangibles to focus on.
And walk
on.
Across the aisle to make friends with different areas of a company. I mean, we have to, like what you just mentioned there, we have to learn how to work with the most diverse group of people, the melting pot of America. And we have to be able to grow within that idea and produce amazing results and win every time. Like there is a skill set there that most people aren't even tapping into, even if they are experts in it, or maybe not even conscious that they're good at it. And most companies have that inclusion. They have that silo mentality. And because most people aren't defaulted to reach out and understand how you can build bridges instead of burning them down.
Yeah, that's great. Now, your post-military career has taken a little bit of a different path. You mentioned some of the positions that you held. Tell us what you're doing now.
So now, the whole thing, my story is almost unbelievable if I wasn't actually the person living it and waking up to it every day. Because so that was 2014. I spent probably like the next 5 years just kind of learning, figuring things out, networking, really unsure of myself, thinking I'm still not worthy of doing it, all these other big things. Like, it's kind of weird. I felt inside I was meant for big things, but I didn't believe it. And that's not who I saw in the mirror. So I was always kind of just talking myself out of it. My ego would always win. But fast forward to 2018, I went to a seminar, or not, this wasn't a seminar, this was a conference, which was for military influencers, and essentially entrepreneurs, people trying to change the narrative in the military space or just start a business. They would come together, and it's called Military Influencer Conference. And I remember telling my story about being a dad, struggling to come home emotionally, and then helping other dads. Through that time, I had joined a lot of dad groups and masterminds on the internet to just become a better dad myself. And I made her, she started crying with my story. And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And because her husband came home from war, but didn't emotionally come home. He just is on autopilot. Okay. And I was like, my story did that. And I was like, I think I could do something with that. So I came home, that was September of 2018. I spent the next 3 months preparing to launch my podcast, The Military Veteran Dad. Launched it in January 1st, 2019. And I would say that like, I felt this was it. Like I felt it in my gut, which made me feel I could run towards it. Yeah. But I still didn't fully feel clear on where it was going to take me. I just knew this was where I needed to go. This was my jam. And I had a lot of different, I have a lot of ideas, and which makes it also hard to pick one. But this one was aligned where I really wanted to be in the season of my life, which is something I've used a lot in probably the recent years since I've gotten that advice of understanding what season of life are you in? Are your kids young? Are they old? Are they left the house? Because all of those different questions allows you to do different things. Like my kids are all under the age of 10. I have three of them. And this is the season of life that every adult that I've ever met always wishes they had more of. And so I've always been hesitant to do big giant things because I'm like, I don't think that price is worth the memory or the impact or just being present with my kids at this age. So this podcast was exactly what I wanted. And so fast forward, I did that through all of 2019 while having a full-time job. Fast forward to January 27th of this year, I go into work at as a normal day. And by 9 a.m., I found out that after 8 years, my position was being eliminated in a reorg. And essentially, I'd been wanting to be an entrepreneur. I had been even desiring to be a stay-at-home dad after my wife went to China for 10 days the summer prior. And I was a single dad for 10 days on my own. Like, that also got me hooked on being a dad more. And so, like, I got thrust into entrepreneurship well before I was ready. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take everything that I've learned, because there was one gift that really hit me as I was talking on the other side of losing my job, which was my ability with words. That was something always everybody would always like, your way with words was amazing. And I just wasn't honoring it really. And so once I really looked at it, I was like, I need to go forward and be a professional speaker, because that's really where I want to be. And anything less, I'm just half guessing and half assing it on myself. So that's where I went. But then COVID hit. So then I was like, oh man, now I got another headwind because all the things is canceled. No one's meeting. But I still kind of kept pursuing because that is still where I want to be. And just kept digging more and more and figuring out, talking to people, that I got more and more closer to working on being more of a stay-at-home dad and dadpreneur. And even now, towards, we're recording this in October, I'm getting closer and closer to even launching a 8-week coaching course, which is called It's Coming Home, or It's Time to Come Home. And it's based on all the lessons that I've learned from my podcast. And it wouldn't have happened if I wasn't digging in every day in those episodes and conversations and understanding my words and understanding the stories I could tell. It all was just kind of chipping away from me to be able to see what I was sitting on, which was my ability and my gift to help dads come home emotionally. All of that had to happen. And like, it's, I'm now spending time with my kids, my youngest daughter, before going to preschool. And like, it's crazy of how it's all happened for me. It's been a really hard year, but I really like the joke with 2020, or it's not a joke because there's a lot of sad things, but for me, that 2020 has been something that's created 2020 vision, like in the sad ways and the positive ways. I've never saw my life more clearer than I have right now. And 2020 has been that gift, because there's huge amount of pressure, huge amount of questioning, huge amount of disruption. And the only difference between rock carbon and a diamond is pressure. And so like, the more pressure 2020 has given me, like, the more clarity I can see and the more that I feel like I'm starting to shine.
And I think that's our choice, right? When we have that pressure, we can either, you know, give up to it, or we can see, let it bring out the best in what's in our core. And I think that sounds like what you've done. So you mentioned your podcast, and we talked a little bit about what it's about, but I want you to just give us a quick overview of your podcast, and then, you know, the course that you're launching. Tell us more about that.
So Military Veteran Dad is a podcast focused with a simple mission to bring every dad home. And now, that's not like home from Iraq or Afghanistan. This is more about the emotional journey, because like I hinted, many dads come home from war physically, but because of what we don't deal with, our ego, all of the different things that a veteran leaves on, and ego is the number one thing we leave on that needs to get turned off when we come home. All of these things prevent us from engaging with our family. And at the far end spectrum of the worst case scenario for dads listening to my podcast is a lot of dads come to the conclusion that their family is better without them, and that them actually being within the family unit is a burden, and they take their own life. Like, the saddest thing that I read about anytime throughout the year is I read about a military dad taking his life and leaving behind 3 young kids. Like, I remember one of the tricks that I used to keep my podcast going and have a full-time job was every weekend at 5 a.m. I was at Starbucks from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. before the kids were doing anything and before like the day kicked in. I would be sitting there reading some news article that came to my inbox during the weekend. It was just that, a story. And I'd be sitting bawling my eyes out in Starbucks, wishing, like, I'm hoping, like, hope anybody doesn't come up to me, ask me, like, are you okay? Because I'm literally in the middle of Starbucks. I mean, there's not too many people that are early, but there are people. And like, I would just sit there bawling my eyes out, because there's just that sad feeling when dads don't recognize such a beautiful gift that we get to be called dad. So my podcast is focused on helping dads just acknowledge a bunch of things that they're not acknowledging and emotionally cross that threshold and help them come home. And the program that I'm launching, It's Time to Come Home, is essentially an 8-week module course where I take from essentially helping you understand how you got where you are, helping you go through the process of acknowledging the things that you're not acknowledging, but then also really gets to that point where you can have a deep connection with your kids, deep connection with your wife. Because often what I've learned is that a lot of dads within this category that are stuck, they feel success at work, but they feel like a doormat at home. Mm-hmm. And that doormat feeling isn't someone a lot of people are acknowledging, but if you're listening and you just heard that for the first time, you probably, and if you're the ideal listener of my podcast, it probably smacks you right in the head, because you probably do feel sometimes like a doormat and you're not acknowledged, you're not connected, you're withdrawn, you probably hide at work. All of these different things that within the 8-week course, I'm going to be able to walk dads through and help them acknowledge that and rebuild the tools. And that's an important part, the tools to get the emotional connection and the connection to the family that they need and desire, but they are often, because their ego is on, too afraid to admit that they're not okay. And the best method that I identify a dad that is a ideal client is when you tell them how they're, or when you ask how they're doing, they say good, or they say fine, because most men who answer that are neither good nor fine.
Right.
And that's just a crutch word that we hide behind in society that most people don't call each other out on.
I think that's going to be an amazing program. When do you expect that to launch?
I expect that to launch, but then hopefully in the next 4 to 5 weeks here, I've almost got everything wrapped up. So I'm tightening up the processes and I'm getting ready to, I described myself right when I lost my job, I immediately felt like I'm a big plane nerd. Somebody use a plane analogy that I felt like I was an A380, which is a double-decker Airbus airplane. And that I've been honing my aerodynamics on the ground for over 6 years, honing the wings, everything that makes a plane fly efficiently. I've been honing on the ground, but I was always too heavy. There was always too much crap in my life holding me down and preventing it from lifting off. And so once the job was removed, I just immediately felt like, wow, this, I feel lighter. Like the only thing I have left to do is like fire the engines and point the into the wind and take off. And in many cases, I felt like the 2020 has been the headwind. And for plane nerds, or maybe people that aren't plane nerds, planes take off into the wind, because when you take off into the wind, you actually get free lift. You don't have to generate with your engines. It takes off even easier. So like the greater you can do that, like the better your ability. And so like, that's where I feel like I'm perfectly set up for right now.
Love it. I think, you know, one of the things you talked about is finding your identity as a person, right? As a dad, as a husband, as a son. I think that so often we tie our identity to our job, and veterans tend to tie their identity to their branch of service. And you really do need to figure out who you're going to be apart from the military. You have to leave it behind once you make that transition. It will always be a part of you internally, but you need to figure out who you want to be as a person. What's going to make you happy? What's important to you? And I think this sounds like a great way of people doing that.
You just hit right on the head the biggest massive takeaway that I didn't know. This is the perfect reason why I needed to be podcasting, even though I didn't fully understand where it was going to take me, because it was like episode 20 with Kirby Ingles, who I'll also introduce you to, that he talked about something in the podcast called legacy. And I had never really thought about it. I had never incorporated it. And that episode gifted me the biggest takeaway that now I probably talk about, ramble on way too much. Probably listeners are tired of me talking about legacy. But what I realized in this moment when having him on the podcast was that most service members get stuck on the questions of the legacy of their service. Why did my friend die in Iraq and I lived? Like, that question will haunt veterans as long as they focus on what did it mean for me to go to Iraq? What did it mean for my best friend to die? What did it mean for my platoon to get blown up and I was the only one left? Those questions haunt veterans. And the part that we don't acknowledge is there are no answers to that. Like, it's an unanswerable question that'll only lead you down darker and darker alleys that will convince you that you're a burden to your family and you need to take your own life to end it. Right. But what he taught me was it's the legacy of family that we need to switch to, because as a veteran, we have such a rich depth life. We've seen the world in a way that only 7% of the population has. We understand people and connecting with people in a way that most people don't have that gift. And if we can gift that, even a marginal ability of that, to our kids, we can create some amazing adults that fully understand who they are, understand how the world works, understand how to judge right and wrong in a very complex situation. I mean, think of the adults that you create if you can gift some of your military wisdom to your kids with your stories, your influence, your teachings. That's generational change and your effectiveness and what it meant for you to be alive in this earth isn't measured in the 65 years maybe that you make it, or 90 or whatever it is. It's measured in generations. Like, you can create impact far into the future. And if your kids start talking to people and they start changing people, you could be talking in the millions, all because you came home and were a dad to your family.
I love it. That is great. Thank you for that. So we kind of skimmed over what happened in 2007 for you. You had some success. You got it. You landed a job, like you said, in corporate America that was different than what you'd been doing. Tell us a little bit about your transition story. How did that come down? How did you go about your transition and landing that first job?
So I'm not exactly sure how I got so lucky, but and almost probably I wish I would have had more failure in the transition, because I really didn't have any almost, I would say. I transitioned out. So I was stationed in Okinawa. So I came home from Okinawa, separated in Camp Pendleton, did my stuff, flew home to Wisconsin where I am. And I want to say that was like the end of July. I had maybe had like two or three weeks of terminal leave saved up. So that was still running out. And so I started applying for jobs, and there was a company nearby that worked on generators, and with generators was what I did in the Marine Corps. So I was like, oh, this seems like a perfect fit. I apply, I interview, I go to the men's warehouse and get a suit, just like they tell you to at TAPS. Like, I didn't question it. I paid $400 for that suit. And I immediately got the job. Like, that was the first and only interview that I did. And I got it. And I worked there for almost 5 years before going to where I was just let go from. And so I've only had two jobs in corporate America. I don't have a lot of depth even in corporate America. I don't even have a lot of interviewing skills in corporate America, because maybe if had I had a harder struggle, I would have asked harder questions in the beginning. But because I hit the ground running, I didn't need to, because once you kind of get back to that safety net, oh, I got a paycheck again. Oh, I got a roof over my head. I got that taken care of. Like, your survival mechanisms can lower down again. But when you, like, I think what I didn't have to experience is the security of the military is you can be dead broke. You can spend all your money on whatever you want every weekend and still have a roof over your head, three squares a day, and you still have a job. Yep. And the transition to go from that to out on your own is a hard one. And I didn't have any pain point there. And so I think that's why it took me almost 7 years to really kind of collapse on my own. Because for me, the transition point really happened when I've dropped out of the College of Engineering. Because prior to that, I was just running on what everybody else was doing. I really didn't run on who I was. I was just trying to figure out how I could fit in, not how to stand out and be more me. And it was that falling down 7 years later, that's really when I started transitioning. So I would say for those first seven, I was just like anybody else. And you probably would have thought that if you ran into me, but on the inside, I was still like, just kind of questioning, is this really what it's supposed to be? Is this, I mean, it just felt like, oh, everybody else is doing it, I should do it. And then when you hit rock bottom, you kind of get a different perspective. And what I wish I would have done differently on my transition is I wish I would have spent more time getting a wider view. I literally went and did the exact same thing that I did when I got out. I didn't spend any time understanding opportunity. I didn't understand any ideas about entrepreneurship. I mean, at that point, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a family. Like, that was as simple as my life was ever going to be. And for about 8 months, it was. And then I met my wife, and then family started coming along shortly after that. I wish I would have spent more time figuring out like what life really wanted to look like, figuring out how other people were living it, and then figuring out what versions of that I wanted to incorporate. Because like I said, I just took what they said at TAPS for face value and just started doing it, but never really looked and felt like, is there a different path that I could take? Is there a different place that I could fit in? Because I just did exactly what I was told. And like, I wish I would have had more time there to probably just kind of, I mean, if I could go back over again, I would have not gotten a job as quick, or I would have done more contract work, or just kind of been a nomad more. Or I grew up on a farm, so I often wish I would have just hung out with my dad more for maybe a year and worked with him and figured it out, or slowed down. Or I wasn't even in a hurry to get an apartment. I was like, I'm not going to move back to my mom and dad. That's a sign of failure. Like, I wish I would have done that, because I could have saved a lot more money living rent free in my parents' house, transitioning out. Like, I was just so, and I felt like the Marine Corps put my life on hold. Like, I didn't date when I was in Okinawa. I just felt like everybody else was getting married. I was like 23 at the time. I was like, oh man, I'm behind. I got to catch up. And so like, I just started running, but I didn't do enough pausing to just kind of enjoy the view. And like I said, really get a wider view of what the American dream means to me.
I think that, you know, just taking that time to figure out yourself, right? So I'm going to go on a limb and just guess that generators are not your passion, right? And
I always like electricity, generators. Yeah. And I like solving problems. So generators have problems. So like there was always something kind of intrinsically worked there. But I learned later in that first job that I like teaching, because I ended that career, that company, with being a trainer for the product. Mm-hmm. And I really like teaching, which is kind of like coaching, kind of like leadership, where you get to help people learn a different skill. I love doing that more than I did exercising my brain for someone I was talking to on the phone that couldn't fix their generator.
I think you just have to look at, what do you do in the military? What's your personality like? What makes you happy? Nobody ever says, all right, what's going to make you happy in the Marine Corps, in the Army, in the Air Force? No one asks you that question.
They issue happiness in the Marine Corps. So if they wanted you to be happy, they would issue it, and you can't be happy until they do.
Got it. So really, like, stop and ask yourself that question. What do I want? What do I want my life to look like? And I think that that is great. I love that your program is going to talk about that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
If I could put a cherry on that, there is something that I instinctively did right after losing my job. And I wish I would have instinctively known to do this right after. And it's what essentially gave me the wider view to do what I do now. That I probably, without doing this step, I would have just went back into, got a job, and probably lost it in COVID. Just so I probably, just as fast as I would have got it, I would have lost it. And what I really realized I didn't do was talk to people. So instinctively, I had spent like 4 years prior to losing my job building my network. I mean, I've got like 1500 connections on LinkedIn. I know a lot of people, they know me. I had lots of conversations on my way home from work. I would always fill up my commute with new conversations. And that's instinctively what I did the moment like it happened. I started calling people on the career side, the people in corporate America side. I started networking with entrepreneurs, telling them what I'm thinking, getting my ideas outside my head, and just letting them kind of repeat something, or maybe them see something. But that gave me the clarity to go into professional speaking is really where I want to be, to double down on being a stay-at-home dad, dadpreneur that mm-hmm. does it all from home. It doesn't do it the traditional way. I wouldn't have done that had I not had those. I mean, I spent 2 weeks. I even got a journal so I could write down all the conversations, all the questions people were asking me, so I could reference any point that I was having. And so I had this journal of all the different conversations. And that gave me clarity, because what you don't know, and it's not something that people talk about, is when you try to see your own life through your own head, it's almost impossible. But when you verbalize it, you can, one, quickly say like, that's a crazy thought. And you can't really say that in your head, because your head can validate any thought that it has, really. But when you get it outside, you validate it, you put it into context, you think about it a little deeper, because now you're looking for words, but then someone reflects back what they see. And that's what I didn't have. And that's what I've learned the second transition going away from corporate America, is I needed those people to continue to reflect back the bits and pieces that I wasn't seeing. And even coaching was something that I lead a small mastermind with another community. And the guys that I meet with every week, they reflected back each week this year. I was like, man, these guys are really reflecting back that I'm missing out on something that I could dive into deeper. That got me to double down and creating this coaching course. So like, that's like the best thing that I can tell you to do if you're listening to this in transition day one or transition day 50 or 1000, whatever many days you've been out, find as many people that you've never talked to before and have a conversation. It doesn't matter whether they seem the most boring people in the world, even if it's a random pitch on LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many random pitches on LinkedIn I'm like, oh God, I'm getting pitched again. And then maybe I have a weak moment and I use their calendar link, book a conversation. And then it turns into amazing conversation. And I'm like, the universe, like my head said, this was supposed to be just a random pitch and I was going to consult, but it turned into a great friendship. Like, that conversation has enriched my life in so many different ways from random moments like that. That gives you such a wider view of the American dream. And this is why I love being a dad, because as a dad, I want to give my kids the widest view of the American dream. You just don't figure out what you want to do when you grow up by going to school for 12 years. So like, find as many people to talk to, because there's an important principle that I wish they would have said in TAPS, which is the amount of opportunity you feel, whether it be a job, entrepreneur, however you relate opportunity and feel opportunity and hope, is directly proportional to the amount of people you invite into your life daily to talk and have a conversation.
What do you say to that person that says, I'm an introvert? I don't really feel comfortable going out and talking to new people. Because I know there are some people out there that heard what you just said and said, oh, no, that I can't do that.
That's not me. The same people also say, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym because I don't see myself as having muscles, or I don't see myself as being muscular. The same idea fits in. And most people that lose weight and end up looking fit would probably go back and like, man, that thought, I listened to that thought way too long. So I feel like a lot of introverts hide behind what you just said, that right. I'm not that person, because what you do, and I'll rephrase it a little bit differently, that person hearing that just now, what I said, like, oh, I'm not that person. That's really not you, the person that goes through the motions every day. What that is your ego. Your ego, which I talked about, has to be the first thing you turn off when you transition. Your ego is that person telling you, like, don't change. Don't change. I love exactly who you are. I know that this is how the world works. All of these truths that I've created over my life experiences, whatever they may be, this is how my world makes sense. Please don't change it. And every time you hear that voice in your head, you're saying, that's not me. That's not you logically saying that about yourself, because you know yourself. That's your ego telling yourself that, like, make sure you stay normal, please. Make sure you stay normal, please. I can tell you in a different scenario, I wake up every day with my ego reminding me, hey, just go back to being normal. Just give up on all this stuff. Like, every day for the first 10 minutes of my mornings, I have to, like, go through this conversation and just want to punch my ego in the face. Like, I'm not going back to normal. I'm going into this world where I continue to wake up and scare myself every day with the things that I do. And you just got to get kind of used to punching your ego in the face. Like, I know you've kept me safe for a long time and you've kept me alive, but right now it's my time to fly. And I need the ability to say hello. And what I've learned about hello, and it's like the simple, it's way too corny for simplicity, but this is how it works. On the other side of a simple hello could be the one person that you've always wanted in your life that can instantly change your life forever. Like, I've had so many conversations that I could never imagine not saying hello. I've had, like, even examples of this, like the irony of saying hello and what transpires. Like, I was on a plane ride to New Orleans once, and there was this guy before boarding the airplane, and he looked interesting, but he's like, he didn't look like a guy I would say hello to. And so my ego is already telling me, like, that's not you to talk to him. You just go back to keep that idea to yourself. Well, I board the airplane. There's an empty seat next to me. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I get an empty seat in the way to New Orleans. Well, United double booked this guy's ticket, and he ended up not getting the seat that he was assigned because he was in someone else's. And I had the only empty seat left in the airplane. And it was this guy that I originally said, I'm not going to talk to that guy in the before we boarded. So my instinct now on airplanes is to say hello, no matter what, really. I've gotten through that part. And now that, like, the universe is telling me, like, this guy that I didn't say hello to randomly through circumstances of United's fault is sitting next to me. So I say hello. Turns out he was a Marine officer that works for Capital One. And I was like, wow, I could have sat next to a Marine this entire 3-hour plane ride to New Orleans and never know. And I mean, nothing has come from that conversation, but just the irony of sitting next to a Marine and sharing a conversation of what his life was like as an officer. Like, I mean, that enriched my life. And he shared some really heart-wrenching stories about losing Marines to suicide. Like, those impact me forever. I still talk, like, this story exists because I said hello. And this story may impact someone else because they're hearing it. Like, I can't tell you how much power there is on the other side of hello, but you got to acknowledge that BS garbage you're telling yourself to remain normal, because that stuff isn't going to get you to where you want to go and isn't going to achieve the big goals that you had in your life. And what you don't realize with all that stuff, all the stories that, like, maybe you've lost a friend, all the hard things that veterans carry, that when you share some of that stuff with another human being, you don't realize it, but by you going first, you're most likely giving a permission for someone else to go second. Mm-hmm. And that power of vulnerability isn't something that pushes people away. It's magnetic and brings people closer. And the more times you bring your darkness into the light, the less power it has over you. So not listen to your ego, punch him in the face, put him out for a knockout for real quick, say hello and see what happens. And then be like, okay, I got an example to prove my ego wrong now. Like, just go through that process. And for my story, I started with dads at the park. I didn't start on an airplane. I didn't start anywhere else. I started with the dad at the park. because that's where I felt safe. A dad at the park is at least trying to be a good dad. It turns out they were looking to talk to me just as much as I was wanting to talk to them. We were both just kind of playing stalemates, waiting for each other to go first. And I would just sit there in the bench telling myself, they don't want to talk. They just want to play with the kids. They probably had a long day like I did, and they have no interest in talking to another human being. Boy, was I wrong, because the third dad that I did that with was a local Army reservist. And I was like, whoa, I just met an Army reservist. I'm the third dad that I said hello to. Like, it's crazy how when you, like, just right on the other side of a hello can be the exact conversation you've waited your entire life to have with someone.
I don't think we can leave any better lesson learned for it to wrap up our episode today. I was going to ask you, I'm like, give us your biggest lessons learned, but I feel like we need
that
to have a full
stop right
there. That is
my single biggest lesson learned right there. Like, that in itself, because it's universal. It universally will take you where you want to go. And like, the only thing I could add to it is people often ask you what your passion is. And most people have never been asked that question. It's kind of like a curse question, because then your brain can't stop thinking about it. Skip your passion, skip your purpose, skip even maybe your why, if you've heard that and don't know what it is. Focus on your curiosity. Have conversations with your curiosity at the heart and center of what's leading you. And you'll always find something interesting, because your curiosity is the breadcrumbs to your passion. So if you have really no idea where to go, you have no idea what you're meant for in this earth, just go with your curiosity, because your curiosity are the breadcrumbs that will lead you to exactly where you're always meant to be.
That was beautiful. Well said. Ben, I appreciate you being on the show with me today, and I am going to link to your podcast. And when that program launches, I want to put that in the link to the show notes.
The website's already up and running. So the podcast is militaryveterandad.com. The website for the coaching program is bencaloy.com. And also, if you want some more friends in your life, I also have a free five less than 10 minute audio course at freedadcourse.com.
Excellent. Well, I will put all those links in the show notes. Take advantage of it. I really enjoyed hearing you talk about it. And please check out Ben's podcast as well. Thank you so much for your time today. And I wish you the best of luck with that program. It sounds amazing.
Thank you, Lori, for the opportunity to tell my story and hopefully ignite some purpose and passion in some people's transition stories and shortcut the process that I had to learn the hard way.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Lessons Learned for Vets. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help smooth your path during your transition from the military, then I have done my job. If you haven't already, please click subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a review and share our podcast with your friends. Connect with me on LinkedIn and join the Lessons Learned for Vets Facebook community to tell me what lesson you learned today. See you next time.